भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, a canto, chapter 22, Bali Maharaj surrenders his life, text 27. Mana estamba niminatam, nama estamba nimitanam. Jama adinam samantataha. Sarvasreya pratipanam Hanta muhyena matparaha Mana estamba nimitanam Jamadinan samantata Sarvasreya pratipanam Hanta muhyena matparaha Mana estamba nimitanam jamanitam jamadinam samantatah sarvasriya patipanam hanta muhena matparah. Mana estamba nimitanam Tambavanitanam Jamadina Samantata Sarvasriya Pratipanam Santamuye Namatparaha Manestambanimitanam Jamadinan samantataha Sarvasriya pratipanam Anta muhyena matparaha Anastamba samitanam Jamadinan samantataha Sevatipanam Antamuhyena Matparaha. Matthias, please. Mana estamba nimitanam Yamadinam samantadaha Sarvasreya pratipanam Hanta muhyena matparaha Mana estamba nimitanam Tripanam Hanta muhyena matparaha Mana of false prestige, Stamba, because of his of this impudence, Nimatanam, which are the causes, Jama Adinam, such as birth in a high family, Samantata, taking together, Sarvasriya, for the supreme benefit of life. Pratipanam, which are impediments. Hanta, also. Mohit becomes bewildered. Na, not. Matparaha, my pure devotee. Translation purport by His Divine Grace. Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki jai. Although aristocratic birth and other such opulences are impediments to advancements in devotional service, because they are causes of false prestige and pride, these opulences never disturb a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please repeat. Although aristocratic, thank you. Birth and other such opulences are impediments to advancements. I'm sorry. In devotional service, because they are causes of all prestige and pride. These opulences never disturb a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Devotees like Dhruva Maharaj, who has given unlimited material opulence, have the special mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Once Kuvera wanted to give Dhruva Maharaj a benediction, but although Dhruva Maharaj could have asked him for any amount of material opulence, he instead begs Kuvera that he might continue his devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When a devotee is fixed in his devotional service, there is no need for the Lord to deprive him of his material opulences. The Supreme Personality of Godhead never takes away material opulences achieved because of devotional service. Although he sometimes takes away opulences achieved by pious activities, he does this to make a devotee prideless or put him in a better position in devotional service. If a special devotee is meant for preaching but does not give up his family life or material opulences to take to the service of the Lord surely takes away his material opulences and establishes him in devotional service. Thus the pure devotee becomes fully engaged in propagating Krishna consciousness. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vatale Simate Viravaho Pravurite Namne Sisi Vrindada Virapada Pankaya Dine Prabhupada Vnvadaya Namasi Viravaya Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vatale Simate Vakti Vedanta Swami Timane Namaste Saraswati Divi Gaur Brahma Prachalini Visesa Paschati Adhe Satarine Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sinyavivashya Patitanam Pavane Vivasna Vevyo Namo Namaha. Thank you everyone for attending Srimad Bhagavatam class. So this verse in this purport, when I was reading it, I was thinking that it's probably talking about Srila Prabhupada's mission. In the last two paragraphs, he practically described his life, how the Lord took away from him in order to his family and possessions, in order to preach Krishna consciousness and come to the West. Yesterday, Bhadra Prabhu was speaking about this famous verse from Kunti Devi. Kunti Devi, she recited 26 verses to Lord Krishna before Krishna departing from Hastinapur after the war of Kurukshetra. And anyone knows what the relationship with Kunti and Krishna? Yes, it was his aunt. Because she was the daughter of Vasudeva. Therefore he was, Ugrasena. King Surasena. And Surasena is the father of Vasudeva and Kunti. So they are brothers. Kunti, the first name was Prita. But Surasena had a cousin. His name was Kuntiboya, and Kuntiboya was childless. So they make arrangement that he will adopt Prita. Therefore, his name is Kunti because his adopted father, Kuntiboya. So Queen Kunti, he recited this famous prayer. Yesterday was quote, Yam maestra sutra sivir edamana manapumam naivai hartir avidatumbai twin twanna akinchana gocharan. She was saying that when one is blessed by these opulences, Jama, they have a high birth in an aristocratic family, and generally a person becomes false pride, become arrogant, and also generally when somebody is from a poor family, there is not too much reason to be to feel proud about it. But Jama is very difficult actually to not feel proud about it. And then is Aishwarya. Aishwarya means opulences. When somebody is rich, rich also is cause of feels one very proud about it. And Shruta means education. Generally, the modern education, people become atheists. Some of them, they think that believing in God and to belong to some religion is because ignorance. Because modern education actually was teaching is this evolution things and the Big Bang and all these theories. And therefore, there is no need for God, according to them. Everything is explained by science. So therefore, they criticize people, the religious people, the atheists criticize them that people believe in God because they are weak, they need some crutches, and they have no intelligence. Excuse me. But actually, it's the other way around. They are foolish, actually. They have no intelligence. Their intelligence is stolen by the illusory energy of the Lord. And the devotee is actually intelligent. Buddha, as explained. And there is another word very interesting. This verse is akinchana. Kinchana means to possess something. And akinchana means to have nothing. So anyone who is a kinchana practically is deprived from any of these material opulences. If he is a pious person, he approaches Krishna, he approaches God. This is described in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvidha, Pachantiman. These four types of persons approach to begin rendering service unto Krishna. But therefore these opulences are kind of impediments, except for one who is Mapparaha, a devotee of Krishna, who knows how to use, to utilize these facilities, these blessings of the Lord and His service. Generally, there's another important word in this verse called Mada. Mada means intoxication. People become intoxicated in the sense that they feel so proud. In the other sense that all these facilities are source of getting pleasure, because trying to possess this material, opulence, as Prabhupada called it, is the advancement of civilization. That is the whole idea. Everybody is hunting for pleasure. Pleasure is actually is non-natural. Like in the Vedanta Sutra, it's a state, Anandamaya Vyasat, that the soul by nature is a seeking pleasure entity. But because when the soul is covered by the material energy, by this material body, it's trying to find this pleasure, to hunt for this pleasure in the material platform, and the soul can express his blissful nature. Therefore, this hunting for pleasure is natural. The only thing is being hunting in the wrong place. Besides, this material existing has some nature, some quality. This is a special word which describes the nature of the materialistic way of life. And this word is apavarga. I'm sorry, pavarga. Pavarga, because the anapavarga virya is portrayed by Krishna. Krishna says, describes also anapavarga virya, which means one whose prowess never defeated. And the opposite, this is pavarga. This word pavarga is actually come from the Sanskrit alphabet. The Sanskrit alphabet contains 25 consonants, and they are divided in 5 groups. Varga means groups, and then the pavarga is the last groups. It's called the labials. The labials start with the ka, ka, ga, ga, and na. That is kavarga, the first group. And then the palatals are the chavargas, ta, ta, da, ta. No, cha, cha, ya, ya, and nya. That is the chavargas. And the cerebrals are ta, ta, da, da, and na. And the other ones are the dentals, ta, ta, da, da, and na. There is a difference in these two. But since I know anything about Sanskrit, I cannot see the difference in pronunciation. And the labials are the last groups, pavarga, pa, pa, ba, 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 and ma. So Prabhupada explained these different meanings of these consonants. Tapa stands for parishrama. That means hard labor. And this Kali Yuga, especially in Los Angeles, we have to work so hard because the rent is so high that barely one can have enough for food. And many people, you know, just come on Sunday feast and eat as much as they can so they can have enough for the week. And then come back the next Sunday and repeat the same thing. So, parishrama means hard work, hard labor. We are forced to work so hard. The material energy is make the living entity to work hard, even just for maintaining this body. And the next word is pa. That means fema, which means form. They say because the working hard, this foam in the mouth, Prabhupada gave the example of the horse. When the horse is running so much or working so hard, it is foam coming from his mouth. And the next word is pa, pa, ba, vyartata. See, vyartata means disappointment. So in the course of these activities of the living entity, especially human beings, and trying to achieve all these opulences, they sometimes become disappointed. It's very common, or frustrated. So there is for this vyartata. And then bha means bhaya, fear. We are in this world that is described as padam padanja bipadam. It's always danger in every step because we don't know what is going to be next. There's so many disasters of happening. Some crazy person come with a gun and shooting and everything. But it's a constant fear because material energy is always changing and it's also threatening the existence of the living entity. So in the last word is ma. This stands for mrityu, death. Nobody can conquer death. So death is imminent for those who are embodied. Therefore, all this word pavarga describe the materialistic way of life, which actually is punishment for the living entity. So hunting for pleasure, trying to be happy in this material world, become a struggle for existence. So there's one devotee nicely also as the word pavarga has his own nature and explain the different alphabets, the each consonant's words. He described the material pressure it has is also described by the nature of paris, he said. Paris is, so the word P stands for painful. The material pressure is actually painful. It's this two sides of the same coin. It's like we are walking from the sun rays. There is always shadow in the back. So the shadow is always following us. The same way, he said, we engage in material pleasure, there is the shadow behind it, that is pain. It's painful. And in psychology, there is a term that's been used. It's called the pleasure principle. Is this maintains that the living entity automatically is trying to adjust his mental condition, his physical condition, and his activities in order to secure pleasure and avoid suffering, avoid pain. That was the psychology. But the material pressure doesn't give actually the desired result. So actually with continuous playing the word Paris, the next word is A, that stands for addicted. Material pressure is addicted. Addiction means we want to repeat it again. We want to experience this pleasure again and again. And this Bhagavad Gita is explained this in this way. Yahi sansparsaya voga dukha yana jayavate adiyantavanta kamteya nate surramate buddha. The sansparsaya bhoga means bhoga means enjoyment, and sansparsaya means when the senses are in contact with the sense objects. But he say this action, these activities is sukha yanaya. Yanaya means the source, and sukha means dukkha. I'm sorry, dukkha means suffering. It's painful. Therefore, it's, and also it's adianta, it's beginning, and anta has end. Therefore, the Buddha, the intelligent person, the rasum nicheloviek, rasum nicheloviek, this person, intelligent person, does not take part, natesu, doesn't take part, natesu ramate, in this enjoyment. He avoided. Also in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's also say the same thing. Visayendriya samyogadisi natada gre mitropaman pariname visang iva tatsukam rayasam smitaha. He say that the visayendriya, the context of the sense with the sense object, samyogad, this means combination, come from yoga, or union. Natada agre means the beginning. Mrito, amrita means nectar. Upamang means just like. At the beginning, this contact with the senses, this happiness, this pleasure, is like a nectar. But parime vishang iva. But at the end, he said, vishang is like a poison. Therefore, this happiness, tatsukam, is in the mode of rajasas. in the mode of passion. So continuing with this word addicted. Addicted means that, according to the dictionary, is something that causes physiologically or psychologically, depending on it. We have all this experience how people become addicted to drugs, to games, gambling, coffee, cigarette, all these things. So the same way, this pleasure become addicted. And one become a slave of this. So the next word is R, it stands for risky. Mahatsevan Dwaranga Hurbimuste Tamodoran Yositan Sangi Sangan. The word Dwaram is very significant in this verse. Dwaram means gate. And Tamo means ignorance, also means hell. So Tamodoran Yositan Sangi Sangan. Because the highest pleasure is when one associates with the opposite sex. This pleasure is probably the highest in this material world. But it's tamodaram, that's the word risky. Tamodaram because lead to a hellish life, especially for those who are trying to become Krishna consciousness. And this Bhagavad Gita also state the same things. Trivedran nirakasyanam, said. Dwaram, the same word is there. Dwaram nasanam atmanaha. Kama lovas tatha. Kamas krodas tatha lova. Tasmat tat trayam trayet. Trayet. Right? Tyajet. To give up. Thank you. To give up. He explained that these are three gates. Kama and Krodha and Lova. So the same thing. Lust. Lust is trying to enjoy separate from Krishna. So therefore this Dwaram, there is a gate to lead this. Therefore material pursuit is risky. Paris, risky. And so the next word is I. This is time for illusory. Illusory because it's illusory because it doesn't satisfy the senses. The best example is we can have or we can conceive is the Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was the emperor of the whole universe. He conquered the whole universe. Therefore, he has everything at his disposal. He owns all the planets and whatever riches in there is belong to him. Even has control on the material universal affairs, but he was not satisfied. He was miserable. He was always drinking. Describing the Bhagavatam, he was drinking. His eye always rolling. But he was not satisfied. He was unhappy. He was not happy. So who can have more opulences, more riches than Hiranyakashipu? That people is after it. And even though they have just a teeny portion on this planet, but without controlling the senses, it's stated natripyat atiya tindriya, that because he was not able to control his senses, he will never satisfy. I was reading a few days before about this story. I was curious about this boxer, Mike Tyson. And it was appropriate, this story. He was the youngest champion in the history of the boxer, I think. He was the youngest because at the age of 19, I think he became champion of the whole world. In a few years, I don't know, 8 or 10 years, he became very rich. He accumulated a wealth of like $400 million. But in terms of like 3 years or four, he became bankruptcy. He lost everything. He lost his mansion. He raped a woman and he was in jail. He became drug addicted, alcoholic. So he lost everything, even though he not just lost everything, but he became debt and debtful with the government. I think it was British in Britain. What is that? UK. He was indebted about $16 million. So now he's struggling for his maintaining even his, you know, his body. He's doing all kind of things trying to survive. And why is that? Because he could not control the senses. His karma was in favor to him to give those facilities, those opulence, but unfortunately he probably never met the devotees or something, because he had a beautiful mansion, you know, that could be a nice temple for Krishna. But his karma also, that he lost everything again, so it was just useless hard work, you know, labor. What is this word? Paris, Rix, and S. S stands for stale. Puna, Purnas, Charvita, Charanam. Material sense gratification, material pressure is always stale, because we are repeating the same thing over and over, over life after life. Therefore, it's never satisfied. This is not the happiness the living entity is looking for. It's not there. Therefore, it becomes stale. Stale. And what else I wanted to say? Therefore, this principle of pleasure only can be applied when the living entity is in connection with the supreme source of pleasure, that is Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explained that Radha and Krishna are actually the symbol of the principle of pleasure. So if anyone is connected to this Krishna consciousness, or trying to surrender his life, and every facility he may have uses for the service of Krishna, he actually become very happy in this world. And the last word I wanted to say is the material pressure is flickering. Govinda Das in his Manahure Bhajan, he explained this material happiness or pleasure is sukkala, is chapala sukha. Chapala sukha lava gire. That is very flickering. It doesn't extend too much. Doesn't last long. It's temporary. And we have all experience of this. Paris, flying to Paris. So the word is flying to Paris. So whatever we want to, I know never any of you will have this desire to engage in material sense gratification. But if we should remember this Paris, the word Paris, that material pleasure is painful, addicting, risky, and stale. So which illusory, yeah, thank you. Illusory. So we should avoid this by all means, because Alice doesn't bring any happiness but misery. The only happiness that because we are no material bodies, and the material body is that doesn't endure, doesn't last. We have to engage all this. As it's described before, everything belongs to Krishna, therefore nothing should be left for the service of Krishna. Indeed, the only way we can attain real happiness and whatever we are looking for here. Because hunting for pleasure in this world is like hunting with the wrong weapons in the wrong place. It's like a mango tree who is next to the water pond, and his reflection is there. And somebody wants to enjoy these mangoes, but instead climbing the tree, he jumped, he dived to the water, trying to find this mango deep in the water. And another person come and do the same thing, And they meet together down there, under the water, and say, what are you doing? I'm looking for the mangoes. Oh, me too. You say, oh, we're on the right path then. And then they see some people with a table with books. They say, how to find mangoes? How to find mangoes in the world? Everybody's reading. Oh, why cannot I find the mangoes? Because you are not dipping enough. You see, you're not swimming in the proper way. Yes, this is the way you have to do to find the mangoes. So this is like a people write how to be happy, what to do, how to attain pressure, and he invents all kind of things and make a books out of this, and everybody's interested in this, but everybody is just, they are cheated. They don't know what to do with. That is the situation. That's their position, the living entity in this material world. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness moving is very essential, and very the most important thing that will bring us to the Shreyas, to the supreme destination, and the we situate us in the natural constitutional position of the soul. And the only way that one can be happy, and there is no other way. Therefore, we have to take advantage of this opportunity that was given to us in this human form of life, because if we lose this opportunity, we can take birth in the lower species of life, and we will be in a precarious situation, position, and unable to again, until we have to wait again to attain this form of human form, to again to have another chance. But we should not wait for this. We should make it an effort to finish this business, as Prabhupada said, in this life, and return to the lotus feet to Krishna. So this is the most important thing in the material existence. This is a chance. Prabhupada have saying that Krishna is creating this universe to give it a chance to a living entity to return to him. Therefore, he was make sure that his happiness never can be found here. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Thank you so much for your attention. And if they have any questions, Acharya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Radha Kripa Kataksha Prabhu. Thank you for your class. So we see that in the universe, sometimes the demigods, you know, are in control. Sometimes the demons, like you just mentioned, Hiranyakashipu, who was the emperor, we are in the chapter of Bali Maharaj. So who is in control right now? This is my question. Mm-hmm. So who is the emperor right now of the universe? So do we have a demon as an emperor, or do we have the devas in control?
I guess you have to go there to find out. Because these stories in the Bhagavatam, there are no chronological order. And
my question is not chronological, it's just to know right now
that's what I'm trying to explain. They are not chronological. In other words, Hiranyakashipu was in Satya Yuga, right? Satya Yuga lasts for 2 million, what is 2 million or something, years. And the demigods and the demons, they're always fighting. So there have been many fights. But they are another time over there. Yeah. The demigods have different time than the earthy planets. And generally this is the, for example, Sankachuda, when he came to, who was that? Subala, wanted to marry to Tulsi. He also conquered, he was ruling the universe, I think. And but generally this is established that the demigods are constantly controlling. The demigods, the demons may have control for some time. But mostly it's the demigods, because Krishna makes sure that always, you know, to take her from the pots, you know. It's like in our countries happened this, how do you call this? Where there is a tyrant there, and there's a revolution, and then overthrown them, and they put the one they want. The same way, Krishna, if there is some demon, Krishna comes and take away and put again the demigods in control. So generally, it's the demigods who are controlling. Right now, I don't know. You have to go there and find out. There is no way we can find out. But we assume that the demigods are controlling right now. Yes, Archita Prabhu.
It's a good assumption, because Krishna was here just a few seconds ago by the demigod type, mm-hmm. 5,000 years ago. And after he wound up his pastimes, the demigods went back to their posts. That's stated, because a lot of them had taken birth to take part in Krishna's pastimes. So when Krishna wound up his pastimes a few seconds ago, the demigods went back to their posts. So it's a good assumption that they're in control right now.
Yeah, thanks so much. Anything else? Thank you for kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Krishna Maharaj.
It's obvious that the demons are in control of this planet, because what this planet is. The demons are obviously in control of this planet.
Of this planet right now. Yeah. Well, he wanted to know the universe.
Huh?
He wanted to know the universe.
Yeah, the universe, yeah. This planet for sure.
Yeah, planet for sure.
Yeah. Mike Tyson did meet the devotees.
Huh?
Mike Tyson.
He met the devotees.
Terminal One. Yeah. But I can't remember what happened.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can't. Charachandra approached him, but I can't remember. See him in Terminal One, but I just can't remember what
happened. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Manas. Sorry, Prabhu. Thank you. You should be here. You should be sitting here and giving class.
I don't think so. I didn't want to disturb you.
No problem.
Anything,
please.
Because
we always make mistakes sometimes.
Because it was so good.
No.
Haranikasi Pu. I don't know what Bhagavatam says, but
yes.
Vishnu Purana says that he lived from Satya to Kali and from Satya to Kali twice through.
Yeah, for sure it was a long time according
long
to
earthly time. Yeah.
That's what I said to the devotees, that we are living.